It's time for the Believer, Unbeliever, and In-Betweener podcast. Joining in on the conversation as three friends discuss socially relevant topics in view of biblical truth, where scripture meets skepticism. Welcome your hosts, Stephanie, Michelle, and Cheryl.
Hi guys, welcome back to our podcast. Today's episode, we will be discussing anger. And before we get started, we're going to just go around and introduce ourselves. So, Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm Stephanie, the believer of the group.
I'm Cheryl, the unbeliever of the group.
And I am Michelle, the in-betweener of the group. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, guys.
All right. So anger, this is a juicy topic.
Oh, yeah.
How do we want to start this off? Well, I mean, there's so many directions, right, that we can go in with this discussion. I know, Michelle, you and I were just speaking earlier, and you were mentioning how anger is a secondary emotion. Do you want to like start there?
Yeah,
I think
sure.
That was a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So what I've been learning is anger is a secondary emotion, and it could be anything. I know for me, when I get angry, it's because of fear. It's for, you know, if I'm worried or nervous, I notice I lash out. And I answer snippy, and then I get angry at somebody, and we wind up in an argument, and I don't even know why, you know, but it's the underlying feeling is because I'm anxious or I'm scared of something. And I just learned that also, like when my dad was down here visiting, he got angry a lot, and I didn't see it at the time, but when I look back at it, you know, he wasn't being seen. He wasn't being heard. Those were two very big, you know, things that he reacted to, and he reacted in a very angry, mean way, and rejection too. He felt rejected on a couple of occasions, and he reacted in a very angry way. And I know I do that as well. If I'm feeling rejected, if somebody's rejecting me, where do I go? I go to the anger. I get mad. I get mad at that person. And so I definitely know it's definitely a secondary emotion to something else that's going on.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, Michelle. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And you said that most of the time, and I would argue if not all of the time, that secondary emotion is fear of something, fear of rejection, fear of pain, fear of loss, fear of abandonment, fear of fill in the blank.
Right.
And so to that point, when we get angry, one really good habit for us to practice is asking ourselves, what's underneath the anger right now? Mm-hmm. What am I really feeling? Am I really feeling hurt right now? And instead of being vulnerable and asserting myself and asking for what I need, because that takes too much work and that's too scary, so I'm just going to default to anger. Anger is kind of like the lazy way out because it takes a lot more bandwidth for us to step back and go, what was it that triggered me? Why am I responding in this way? What can I do instead to assert how I feel? And if the situation warrants, perhaps even set a boundary or ask for what I need so that this doesn't happen again.
Right. It's funny that you said something, you know, about asserting and whatnot. I feel like it's also a control thing too. I know for me, again, another example is if somebody doesn't agree with me, I want them to agree with me, I get angry because they're not thinking like me or they're not doing what I'm asking them to do. So I think that is that like control? Like, do you think that, or is that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So I think definitely.
Because your life would be so much easier if people would just agree with you or do what you told them to do. And so it's easy to get angry at people because now they're like, now they're forcing you to change your position or change, you know, work around them. And that's aggravating.
Yeah.
And if you remember from the rejection show that we did, and we went through that quiz on rejection, how do you know if if rejection is operating in your life, one of the manifestations is that you will be irritated and argumentative when people disagree with you.
True.
Also, it can manifest as the underlying urge to always have to be right in a discussion. It's a manifestation of a rejection wound.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with that for sure. I definitely see that. And how do you fix that though? Because that is something that I want to work on for myself, because I find myself angry a lot. And, you know, I don't like that. I don't like the way it feels. And it's a lot of energy to be angry, I feel. I want to be in peace. I don't want to be angry all the time just because somebody's disagreeing with me or doesn't see my point of view. Cause I don't know, just.
Well, you're right. It does take a lot of energy, Michelle. And studies have shown that, it does affect your health.
Yeah.
And people who are chronically angry live shorter lives.
Yeah. I have my blood pressure at times gets high. I don't have high blood pressure, but there are times where it does get high, higher than normal. And I just recently had breast cancer. It was a mild form of it, but it's still, I got sick, you know? And it's like, why? It's because I have so much anger tucked deep down, that I'm not really dealing with. And, it's coming out in other ways.
Do you know what you're angry at, or what's the root of the anger? Have you been able to?
I'm dealing with it. I'm kind of looking at it now. I know that, you know, it's a lot of childhood wounds. I know it's a lot of rejection. I have rejection wounds. You know, I have like mother wounds, father wounds. You know, I have a lot of deep things that happened in my childhood that I, you know, repress things that, you know, you're a kid, you don't know how to express it. You don't know, but you're mad at the things that happened. And, you tuck it aside. You tuck it deep down. I know that's what I do. I keep it deep down. And there are times that it just comes out, things trigger it, you know, like we were saying before, if I'm not seen or heard, if I feel like somebody's rejecting me, that's when it bubbles out. And it happens like even with my husband, you know, he may be saying something and I take it the wrong way, take it like he's rejecting me. And then I get mad and then we get into a fight. And it's like, that's not where he was going with that. It's like, he wasn't rejecting me, but I was seeing it as a rejection. And then I wound up just having an argument with him. And then, you know, one thing I definitely shared with you, Stephanie, earlier is that, you know, when I was a kid, and I'll never forget this, I was young. I might've been like 11, 12 years old. And these kids, you know, we hung out with a lot of kids, and one of them was making fun of my father. He was saying bad things about them. And all the kids around them was like siding with him and laughing and whatnot. And, you know, and it was hurting my feelings, even though it may have been true, because my dad, you know, kind of a, you know, hard kind of guy. And they were making fun of him. And I said something because I was so angry. I was so mad and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to say, how to express myself. And I said to him, well, at least I have a father. I remember I was so angry and I just said that. And he didn't have a father. I think his father passed. And it's like, everybody just turned on me. It's like they're dishing it out, getting me angry and mad. And well, I didn't know what to do. And I think we do that too. It's like, even like today, if somebody's hurting me, I want to hurt them back. I want to say something to hurt them back. And I want to learn how to be able to have somebody have an opinion, or even if it's hurtful towards me, I want to be able to feel good about myself that I don't have to retaliate to hurt them also. So.
Yeah, I think there's a big link. There's a big connection with codependency, actually, because that sort of belief, that narrative that we have of being responsible for other people, and therefore they're responsible for us. And so we get angry when people don't listen or behave however they behave, as if we have anything to do with how someone else conducts themselves. We are separate people, and codependents have a hard time separating. And so when you start to have that self-awareness of, you know, how someone else behaves has nothing to do with me, it's easier to not lash out, but it takes practice.
Yeah. And that's the thing when you say that, because that's one of the wounds that I have. It's like when somebody is, you know, treating me a certain way, I say it's me, it's my fault. It's something about me, because that's what I've been raised around. Like my mother and father were always angry at me for something, you know, I was just around and they were having their issues. Their issues were not involved. It didn't involve me, but I took it like it did because they were lashing out on me. I was like the punching bag. And so I grew up thinking that if somebody's mad at me, it's because of something I did or said, or it's just me in general. I'm hideous. I'm disgusting. I'm, you know, all the names that you could, you know, I tell myself. And it, to this day, I still do that. When somebody, you know, confronts me with something, oh my gosh, I'm such a horrible person. It's like, but it's not, but I have to learn how to, you know, to say, well, it's not me, it's them. I try to say that to myself, but I usually don't believe me, but I do try to like say, it's not me, it's them. It's not me, it's them. Like I'll just chant it over and over again, but maybe one day, you know, it'll finally sink in. And I like what you just, you know, what you just shared about, you know, it being the other person, you know, it's not.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I freak out when someone's mad at me. Like I freak, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it really, really annoys me when the person still won't forgive me. When I'm hello, I'm sincerely sorry. Like I'm not even pretending I didn't do it or pretending it's your fault that I did it. I'm taking accountability and you still hate me. That's weird. Cause I could never do that to somebody.
Right. Same.
But people drop me like flies. It's really weird.
Same with me. But I wonder, shame too. Shame would be an underlining emotion as well.
That's probably, Michelle, that's probably our abandonment issue. Like we would hold on to a friend like for dear life, no matter what
they're doing to us. Exactly.
Like they'll dump us like for no reason. Yeah. And they're like, don't leave me.
I know. It's like almost life and death. It's all that, and I'm still struggling with that because I just lost a friend because of, you know, because of something I said on our podcast. And I literally,
she got angry at you.
She got angry at me and said that she forgave me. You know, I begged her, please, I'm so sorry. Really, you know, cause it was like, this is like somebody I considered my sister. I considered her a really close friend of mine. Someone who knew my heart. I thought she knew my heart. I thought she knew me. I thought I knew her heart. And for her to get insulted over a comment that I made that, you know, I didn't direct it at her, but she took it that way. And I apologize. She said she forgave me, but she's not my friend. She doesn't want to be my friend. And and to me, it's like almost like the end of the world. It's like, so, you know, it's always there in the back of my mind that somebody so I felt a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. And I had to keep, you know, telling myself, well, that has to be her issue. But then I always go back to, but if you're not going to be my friend, then it's me. It's like, you don't like me, you know?
Well, I think when there's a situation we experience where it triggers anger, I think for us to step back and ask the question, is that person really saying something in a way or acting in a way that's deliberately being mean towards me? Or is there a misinterpretation? In other words, is that person just saying something and I'm interpreting it in a way that's triggering me? Mm-hmm. Because that could be two different things. There can be times when a person is really trying to hurt you with the way they speak to you.
Right.
And then there are times when inadvertently we may get triggered and the other person has, like you said, Michelle, your husband says something, you misinterpreted, mm-hmm. he had no intention of saying it that way. And so I think that's a point of discernment too, that we can all get better at. And for those times where, let's say someone's really coming at you and they're attacking you, I think it's important to take a step back and realize that, you know, when people act that way, there's a level of growth and trauma probably there that they haven't worked through. So don't take it personally.
Oh, I have an example. Can you help me with this one? Okay. So my daughter, for instance, she has an issue with people chewing gum or chewing, you know, crunching. Okay. You know, if you're eating a carrot and it crunches, you can't help it. It's a carrot. You're eating celery, you can't help it. Or toast, anything that's crunchy. She gets so mad, looks at me with daggers. Like she wants to kill me. That's how she looks at me. how do I react? Because I react angry back and then I get so mad and irate almost. So what underlining, what is that? Like, what would my underlining emotion be if somebody's doing that, like getting mad at me for living? It's like, I can't help it.
Well, that's a passive aggressive reaction that she's doing towards you. If you're doing something that is irritating her and her communicating that is through a death stare,
or even just saying something, why do you got to chew that? Why are you eating that? Like in a nasty way. I fume. I get crazy.
Well, then you got to put it back on her and ask a question, right? Seek first to understand. So then you could say, help me understand, what is it about my chewing and crunching that's upsetting you?
Yeah. She thinks that she has like an issue. There's like a name for it. There really is. She looked it up.
So then maybe you guys have to have some sort of an agreement where you have to give her a heads up. Hey, look, I'm going to eat a piece of celery right now, so you might want to leave the room. Or I have to eat a piece of celery, so I'm going to go outside in the front yard and eat it.
I know. I mean, that's what it gets. Sometimes she just storms off and goes in her room and slams the door. But instead of me trying to like understand that, I don't understand it and I get mad. And then I wind up in an argument with her and I wind up getting so frustrated and then I don't even want to eat. It's like,
it is an inconvenience, obviously, because you have to eat, right? But at the same time, everybody is different. Some people do have certain things that irritate their skin, noises, lights that irritate people. So people have certain levels of sensitivity. If she has that, then, you know, it's not like she can necessarily control that, but you know, you guys just have to work something out respectfully where you respect that. And she has to respect that about herself too. And you guys have to work together. It's not fair that you would have to always go away just to eat carrots or something. But maybe
are you actually eating like a cow?
Oh, heck no. No, I even.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too. Are you right?
No, I chew with my mouth closed, but there are sometimes I open, you know, I don't want to choke. Obviously I don't want to choke. So sometimes I have to do what I have to do. Like I open my mouth every once in a while because I don't want to choke. And
does she do this with everyone or just you?
Well, pretty much everybody, like Joe, me and my husband, for sure. She hates when he chews gum. Whenever he whips out the gum, like he's going to put it in his mouth. Oh my gosh, he's already with the death stare. She's already asking him, why is he chewing gum? You know, it's like, we can't chew comfortably in our house. So whenever she's out, we're like, let's just chew the gum. Like we eat, we chew, we have like, we laugh about
it.
We have
a carrot party.
Yeah. Like when she's not here, we like, it's like we were free. We could like eat. And I hate that we have to live in such an environment where we have to be self-conscious. Now when I'm eating in front of people, I'm afraid to crunch because do they have that issue too?
Have you ever asked her, like, what does she associate that with? I'm curious. Is it
just, know. I did.
Like, does she think people who chew loudly are pigs, or like, does she have like some sort of an association?
I did ask her. She said she doesn't know. She doesn't know where it's coming from. She thinks it's like a mental thing. I think some kind of like phobia, you know? I'm not really sure, but she has tools. She was seeing a therapist, not just for that issue. She had other issues that she was dealing with, but I know that they gave her tools, you know, leave the room, you know, put music on, whatever, just whatever you need to do to help yourself. But that's fine if she just does that instead of getting mad at me and saying it, because then I react back. Instead, like, I need to learn how to not react back. I just get angry, like infuriating, like it infuriates me.
Well, it's not fair that she gets angry at you for a condition that she has, right? So you can just say that to her. You could just say, hey, I don't think it's appropriate that you're getting angry at me right now for this. So I'm going to ask you to stop.
Yeah,
right.
But I wish I could say,
and say, what are the things that you could do to not like put your AirPods on, you know, like,
right.
Is there
don't
something
storm off, but like, why does she get like storming off? It's like, that's what I think is the
irritation. Cause she can't control it.
Yeah. So she has control issues.
Well, it must be frustrating to have that. Think about it. Like if you were her and like every little sound was irritating, that would be kind of frustrating, but it's not fair that she vents her anger outwardly
on
you.
Right. And that's the thing. That's what I need to learn how do I react to somebody being angry? That's the thing too. It's like, how do I react in a way that
ask questions.
Oh,
okay. You use that, you know, seek first to understand method where you say, wow, you're giving me a death stare. What's why? Just like, what's making you upset right now? Oh, you're crunching. Okay, but your therapist gave you tools. So why are you not utilizing those tools? Mm. Like, you always want to put it back on them.
Put it back on them. Okay.
Oh, seek first to understand, like, why are you angry? Clearly you're angry at me because I'm getting the death stare. So what's triggering you? What's making you upset? Oh, you're crunching too loud. Okay. Well, we already have solutions for that. So why are you not employing those solutions?
And if those solutions aren't working, then it becomes, okay, what's a new method? Because me going outside every time I eat is not an option.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But like, what can we agree on that would make sense?
Yeah. I guess the thing too is it's how I react, or like even if it wasn't just that example, it's just if somebody, you know, everybody wants everybody to react loving. It's like everybody wants to, you know, just not like if somebody's gonna come at me because they're frustrated with something that has nothing to do with me, I want to be able to say, oh, so what's that? What's up? What's the matter? Are you okay? I need to learn to do that. Instead, I get angry because I take it on. It's me. And then I get mad back. And then that never solves anything. So I guess, yeah, these are good tools, you know, seek to understand first and then, ask questions and then put it back on them. I like that. Good tools.
I like how you said that, Michelle. You said, why can't I just say to someone, you know, hey, what's going on? What's up? You know, how you feeling? That was really well said. Mm. If you could just take that and just practice it. So even if you don't feel like that's what you want to say, like even if inside you want to just yell and scream and rip their head off, if you discipline yourself to just say, okay, I'm just going to change my response, like behavior modification, I'm just going to change my behavior right here. And then you just practice it. You'll see the results. You'll see like, wow, this actually works better than me fueling the fire with more anger. Mm-hmm. And you'll want to do it more when you see the fruit.
Right. You have a good story. I don't know if you want to share it, but I remember you telling me.
Can you remind me?
You had with, I don't want to say the person's name, but there was somebody that you were close to who was lashing out to you and you were able to,
gosh, I can't remember. When was I telling you this? Today?
If I say it, we could always take it out, right? We'll just take it out.
Well, I mean, is it a family member of mine?
Yeah, it's yours. Yeah, it's your, somebody very close to you.
just say it. My dad?
Pete, remember you were really angry? Remember he was angry and you guys, you know,
a bazillion years ago. So you're saying like go back to a time when my husband and I had a disagreement. Okay.
Remember how, and you did these techniques and it worked.
It definitely works. Yeah. I mean, anger is something my husband struggles with. I think a lot of men tend to struggle with anger. And part of the reason for that is most men don't develop a way early in their life how to communicate how they feel. So when they get married or they get in relationships, they don't really know how to get in touch with what they feel. And then they definitely have a hard time communicating that in a loving way. And so they just give in to anger. It's like what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And so, I definitely had a crash course lesson in how to navigate through this. And one of the things that I had to learn was what we just talked about, you know, separate out what am I responsible for and what is he responsible for? And don't get drawn in to an argument that really is not about my garbage. Like it's not about my stuff. It's about his stuff. And I found myself getting involved in areas that I really just didn't need to involve myself. And I also needed to do a better job, believe it or not, in some ways, in some areas of having stronger boundaries. Mm. You would think, oh, Stephanie's really good at boundaries. But no, there were areas where I think maybe because I do counseling, I was leaning a little bit more like towards trying to counsel him through things rather than holding him accountable for things. So I had to do a better job of saying, that's not appropriate. And if you continue to do this, this is the consequence. But instead, I found myself kind of defaulting a little bit more to say, oh, well, you know, here's what I noticed and here's what we can talk about. And that just did not work. And that's not a good approach. Like, you know, and so what I had to learn is I had to do a better job of holding him accountable and enforcing consequences. And when I did that, that's when I started to see change. I don't know if that's what you were referring to, Michelle.
No, because I remember you talking about that a while ago, time ago. And I remember
one of the things my husband would do a lot, and I hope he's okay with me saying this, but hopefully it'll help other people too, because I'm sure we're not the only ones that go through this, is when he would get angry, he would resort to threats. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah? Then he would threaten me. And that is just the most destructive form of communication, because it's immature, it's hurtful. There's no resolution when you start, you know, it's a form of control and it's verbal abuse. You know, it's just ugly, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, so then what I had to learn is things like if you continue to threaten, then these are the consequences, right? Mm-hmm. Like, rather than trying to say, hey, you know, there's a better way you can say that, you know, like trying to solve it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Hmm. That was good.
And again, it's like really, like what we were talking about earlier, you know, Peter, you seem really angry right now. What's triggering you? What's really upsetting you? Now, in our situation, that became a challenge too, because it was very difficult for him to know what was bothering him. He had a hard time knowing what he needed. Yeah. So it was hard for me to meet the need, because when I asked, well, what do you need from me? The answer was, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that made it hard, because it's not my job to figure out what other people need. It's, you know, his job to figure out what he needs and then ask. Mm-hmm. So I think that those were some of the, pitfalls.
No, that's good. That's very good. How about you, Cheryl? Do you have any stories?
Actually, I do. Very recent too. So this is coming at a good time. But actually, when I was in Charlotte 2 weeks ago, I visited a friend that I haven't seen in a long time. We've been friends since I'm 18. And I thought we had a good time, but it's she's always had sort of the OCD neurotic problems that, you know, I'm very loosey-goosey, so we always kind of didn't really jive in that sense. But so kind of like when you walk in her house and she makes me feel like, you know, I can't touch anything, or, you know, or like I'm diseased, and she has to, you know, wash behind me as I trail my pig pen, you know, she kind of makes you feel like that. She's very germaphobe and,
and you have that with your mom too.
Yeah. Right. But just, I don't know, just so like, she just can't relax, you know? I'm like, dude, can we just freaking like, you know, crack open a beer and put your feet up and just talk to me. Like she's just always on, you know, and it kind of drives me nuts, but whatever. I she's still my friend. I don't care. She doesn't have to be perfect. but so she has a 16-year-old son and she's basically a full-time mom. And so I understand we've fallen out of touch because she's a mom and I'm not, and we live very different lives. But before I went to Charlotte and visited, she said, you know, we used to go dancing when we were 18, and we had certain bands that we liked. So we started talking again, and we started saying, hey, let's get, you know, so-and-so's going to be in New York City. Let's get tickets to this concert. Let's get a hotel room. Let's do it. You know, let's celebrate. We haven't done something like that in 30 years, you know? Well, so we did that. We booked a hotel, bought tickets, all the stuff. And that's supposed to be in September.
Who is it? What band?
Oh,
who?
Pet Shop Boys. And
oh, wow. That's so fun.
Some of our old school stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
But to make a long story short, I think what happened when we saw each other in Charlotte 2 weeks ago, she just sort of felt like, oh my God, like this girl and I just have gone on two different paths. You know, we have nothing in common anymore. And so when I left Charlotte and I was saying like, oh, I'm at the airport, you know, great seeing you, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll see you, you know, in 3 months in New York. And she goes, yeah, about that. She goes, and you know, you and I have maybe had a past, but we have no future. And
oh my God.
And I'm not going.
Wow.
And it just crushed me. But I was livid. I was livid. I was like, you know, what's the deal? And of course, she gave me this long ass excuse about how she has to focus on her son and he has all these things going on in September. And I'm like, are you trying to tell me that because you're a mom, you can't go anywhere it 4 months from now? You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a ridiculous, and it's a livid excuse that that drives me nuts, because, you know, most of my friends have kids. And so that thought of, I can't have friends because they're all moms. I mean, you could hear it in my voice right now.
Oh, you're mad. I know. You're angry.
I'm angry. So that's like, to Stephanie, to your point, like that's a trigger point. Like someone saying they can't be my friend because they're busy with their kids. It's like, okay, you know, not only are you abandoning me, but you're also making it become a fact to my own narrative that moms don't have time for me. And so that cancels out 90% of the women on the planet that can't be my friend.
Cheryl, can I ask you a question? Do you know if she was using that to mask something else? That she was just using that as an excuse, like, oh, I can't see you again because I have a kid.
Oh,
that
totally.
Just sounds, I mean, like a totally really, it sounds like a
It's totally excuse. I just don't know what the real reason was.
Okay.
You know, other than all she had to talk about was chasing after her son all day, and all I had to talk about was all my work, you know, career options and stuff. So I could just tell she was like, yeah, you know, I'm not on the same page as you at all. And I'm like, well, I'm not on the same page with you either, but I wouldn't dump you as a friend.
I know. That's awful. That's like, that's.
Yeah, that is awful.
That's very similar to what my friend did. She was like, yeah, I'll forgive you, but I just can't have when I see you, I can do pleasantries, but I can't, it can't go beyond that. Something like that. Like we can't continue as friends. And I was like, whoa.
And then she went, I mean, I'm not even done. She went and sold the tickets online. Like by the time I got off the plane, and I was like, well, you know, if you're backing out of our vacation together, then just give me the tickets and I'll take someone else. And she's like, oh, I already sold them.
Wow, Cheryl. That's...
I would have been like, she's just hurting you on top of hurting.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, what layers happened, girl? Yeah.
Layers.
And how long did you know this person for?
Since we're teenagers.
Wow. So, it's just really extreme because, you know, look, it happens. People grow apart. Okay. But they don't have such harsh breakups like this. Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay. So things like change, people grow apart, but you can still call each other and talk. And she could have done that a little bit more gently.
That's like, I mean, gosh, something similar. Not as similar as that, but something with a concert ticket. I stood somebody up. I was supposed to buy the ticket from her. We weren't even close. We're just friends. And she reacted that way. But somebody you have a history with, woof. Wow. Yeah. That's you guys went away together. Cause I don't know if I missed this all changed when you came back from your vacation together, or
when I was in Charlotte.
Is that's where she lives?
She lives there.
Oh, so you were there with her. Okay.
When I was there for work, I visited her and spent the night with her.
Okay.
And then even throughout my conference, you know, we were checking in with each other. Oh, how's it going? Like it just nothing even alluded to being wrong.
Wow.
Until I was flying back north and I said, I'll see you in New York.
Wow.
In September. And she's like, no, I'm not doing it. And then she just like, not only did she back out, but she didn't even like let me take over the,
right.
You know.
That's so odd.
You think something happened like while you were visiting her? Like, do you think she misinterpreted something by accident?
Maybe. I just don't know what.
Right.
It just seems like a very like
weird
night and day 180 flip. Like something happened.
Wow.
Most people don't react that severely if it's just a gradual growing apart of each other.
Right.
I'm sorry, Cheryl, to hear that. That definitely just, must have felt painful.
I don't know if it felt like she was just annoyed with me because I have free time or something.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So you're dealing with an anger issue right now. So it's kind of like, is this where she says, I'm asking Stephanie. So Stephanie, is this where she says, okay, it's not me, it's her? It's like, what do you do? It's like,
I just had to come home and, you know, and I was pissed because the conference went so well and work was well. And I was like, that just ruined it.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I'm like, I wanted to come home feeling great about the conference. And now I'm coming home pissed off that this girl doesn't want to be friends anymore.
Yeah.
But I had like a day or two of anger. And then I was like, you know what? Can't control what people want to do with their lives. So. Mm-hmm. And it's.
Yeah, I think if I'm trying to put myself in that situation, and I think that if it were me, it would leave me with a lot of confusion, if anything else. And I know I would probably want to inquire and say, wow, this is coming out of left field. Did I do something wrong? Or did I do something that really upset you? Because if I did, I would really love to know. And I want you to feel safe letting me know that. It doesn't mean that you would change anything. It doesn't mean that the friendship would even continue. But again, I'm just putting myself in your shoes. I would want to know just so that if I inadvertently did something or said something that I would know moving forward so that I wouldn't do it again by accident. Doesn't mean she would tell you the truth either. She could.
Yeah, no, I totally tried that. And
she, yeah.
I'm not mad. I just, you know, just, we're just in different places. It's like, so what?
I would say, you're not mad, but I am because I wanted to go to the conference. I could have asked.
Okay, now I'm mad.
Yeah, I would have been like, my friend Michelle might have met me there. No.
I know, right? Just. Unfortunately, I think I've seen this before. So I'm like, another one bites the dust, you know?
Seen this before with another friend or with her?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not that extreme, but she's very intense like that.
Okay. Okay.
So it's not beyond her to be like that. She's very, you know, she's very Brooklyn ghetto, tell you like it is, even though she's not telling.
Okay.
But you know, like she'll be in your face, like she'll tell you, you know, that she hates you and never wants to see you again. Like she would say that to your face.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the secondary emotion, right? Because it's like the pain hits the heart and then later on anger can set in and say, I can't believe she did that, you know? But it sounds like, Cheryl, you're in a good place with it in terms of like, what are you going to do? It's one of those things where she made a decision. It maybe the way she went about it could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, right.
But at the end of the day, what are you going to do about it? Same with you, Michelle. I was like with your situation too. What are you going to do about it? You know, in your case, Michelle, you apologized, yeah. You asked for forgiveness. You said, I won't do it again. And that person just probably just didn't feel safe continuing a relationship with you.
Exactly.
She has the right to make that choice.
Yeah. It's true. She did. That's it. She didn't feel safe. And that really is hurt. That hurts me because I never would want somebody to not feel safe being my friend. It's like the last thing I
right
make anybody feel is unsafe.
Well, just kind of looping back to anger, as I was giving some thought to what could I contribute to this podcast as it relates to anger, one of the things that came up in my mind was one of the things for myself I try to practice, and I don't do this well all the time, but I try to practice this, is when I get triggered, something maybe hurts me. Usually when I get hurt, I notice that's when I can feel anger come up. And I have to remind myself that, well, first of all, I always ask myself the question, is this something you can overlook? I always ask that, because I don't think, I've come to learn that it's not really all that important. Like every time, you know, I feel offended or hurt, that you have to address it, right? If I can overlook 90% of the offenses, I will. But for certain situations where it requires me to assert myself and say something, then I try to say, okay, Steph, take some time to ground your emotions. Don't address it when your emotions are high. Because even if the words that are said are appropriate, if the tone behind the words are not appropriate, it's just as hurtful, and it could trigger the other person, because, you know, what comes out can feel like an attack to the other person. So
that's so true. I have practiced that, because I can rage. And what I try to practice when I'm angry is for like, walk away first, or think about it, whatever, sit on it, because raging at that moment is not the answer ever.
Yeah. Even I've noticed, even when I've tried to say like, okay, I can do this, I know what to say, I can do this, right? Even if I'm not like raging, I've noticed that there could be just a little bit of edge.
Oh yeah.
That still needs to be drained out of the words. I know that's gotten me in trouble. And what was the other thing I was going to say is, and you know, in therapy, one rule is always address the situation when it happens, right? That's what you hear a lot. Like, if something happens, don't wait a week to then say something about it, because oftentimes the person's going to go, I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Right.
So it's in most cases, it's effective to address the situation in the moment. And that's what gets me in trouble, because I'm trying to balance.
Yeah. Like calling it out, but
right,
moment. I do it right in the moment.
Yeah. It's like you got to balance it, because there are times when, yeah, okay, you can address it in the moment, but if the emotion level is high enough, then it's like gauging yourself down to say, okay, right now, even though it would be great to address it right here, right now, I can't. And I've got to sleep on it, take a day. I would say once you sleep on it, it's usually better.
I would say you don't have to address it as in like talk about it and solve it right on the scene, but you have to call it out on the scene so that everybody knows what just happened.
If you can.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, people, or I've had situations where sometimes people will say, I didn't even say that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You know, and now all of a sudden it's a huge debate, or, you know, oh, I didn't mean that. It's sometimes like, I found that sometimes just for me, I know I have to sometimes take a day to just ground the emotion. And then I can go back and say, hey, remember yesterday when blah, blah, blah. And I notice that I'm a lot more in control of how I position my words. And that really keeps me out of getting into fights.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I pulled a few verses in scripture, if you guys want me to just pull a few as it relates to anger. I'm just going to read a few. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, that he than he that taketh a city. Let me read that again. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Oh, so that probably is a good verse to support what I just said.
Yeah.
A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards.
Can I read that in the NLT?
Go ahead.
All right, so the Proverbs 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city.
Yep.
That a little bit better. That's ESV, actually. That's the ESV.
ESV. Can I read a few more, Michelle?
Yeah, but can you do it with not that version? Though?
Well, I don't think they're really that hard. Okay. Ecclesiastes 7:9, it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rest in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Few more. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Last one I'll read, Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. There's more, but I'll just stop there.
Yeah, that's good.
So basically, listen more.
Yeah,
see, listen if you more. Overlook a transgression, do so. Don't speak all your mind at once, but wait till afterwards.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Well, I think we have to wrap up.
Okay. Good all right, stuff. Guys. Well, it was brief, but I think we
very good. Yeah,
shared some interesting points.
Definitely. I definitely learned something. I definitely learned, you know, a couple of things. I mean, one that I'm going to take away is, you know, when somebody's angry, I need to look, you know, ask the questions, you know, first, like look into what they're dealing with, and then not to put it on me, that it's not me. You have to say, well, it has to be, you know, because you're asking the questions, you know, and if I'm not involved in it, then it's not me, it's you, you know, that's what I took away from it.
Just like when you get angry yourself, it's likely because of your own inner triggers, and it's not really what the other person did.
Yeah.
And I think gaining control over our emotions is crucial.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Cause the thing is like,
when you control your emotion, then you could learn to verbalize precisely what you are really trying to say.
Right.
And of course, the other person isn't going to be able to hear you if you're screaming at them.
Right. Like I know this, we're going to wrap up, but real quick, like I noticed that I'm afraid to fly. I mean, I do it now. I used to not do it at all. And I remember right before I had to fly, oh my gosh, like the week before, I was so anxious. I was so on edge. I would snap at everybody. And then finally I remember coming, you know, to grips and say, wow, it's because I'm scared to fly. So when I had an argument with my husband, you know, I don't remember how he asked me, but I was like, I'm just so scared. I'm telling you, I'm reacting this way because I'm nervous, you know? And then, so I found where it was coming from, you know, it's like when you find out what your secondary or what that first emotion is, then you know where that secondary emotion of anger comes from. It's like you have to realize what it is, what's going on in your life.
Yeah,
making you react that way. So yeah, this is good. Very good.
Hey, Michelle, I know that we're wrapping up, but I had pulled for this podcast a paragraph out of the book, God Loves Me and I Love Myself, that identifies the six stages of brokenness in a heart. And I just thought if I could read this paragraph on the angry heart, it may shed light. It says, as our fears remain intact, it goes back to fear being the underlying emotion, the stress and insecurity add another layer on top of fear, which causes anger. The anger comes in to defend our brokenness and keep anyone away who may show a potential threat to us. All anger stems from unresolved brokenness, and very little of it has anything to do with the current situation or subject. Most of the time, anger has way more to do with a past wound than it has that has never been addressed. So many attempt to use anger management as a solution, yet this is all they end up doing, attempting to manage it, when in reality, they should be removing the intruder. But we cannot remove something that we have allowed to become a defense mechanism. Last section, an angry heart left unaddressed leaves a person with a lot of hostility within. The person may be angry with a past relationship, family member, or a life disappointment, but the target of their fury is often against themselves. They carry a pent up bitter world that drives the angry presence. The hostility may remain bottled up, or it will lash out on others.
So true.
That sounds like my dad. Wow.
So that's important, right? When people lash out on us. So either we have to, you know, analyze ourselves. Do we see ourselves here? And also remember this, that when others lash out on us, this is what's really going on with them. It's a response to brokenness that's unhealed.
Sad. Wow.
That's probably why Christ says, pray for your enemy. Because it's really coming from a place of brokenness.
Yep. Good stuff.
Which then allows you to more easily forgive. Like I could say, my friend must be going through something, you know, to lash out like that.
Right. Like, why did she choose to do it that way rather than a more gentle?
And if I believed in prayer, I would say, pray for her. But
you could still say it. We'll still pray for her.
Well, think of it.
Pray for you, Cheryl.
Think of it as an intention, right? Prayer is like an intention set forth. So prayer is just communication. So you can say, I'm going to communicate this intention towards her.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Awesome.
Guys. All right, guys.
Thank you guys joining our podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If you have any, and also educational, and if you have any questions, please just email us and contact us. Yeah. And we'd love to answer questions.
All right,
guys. Have a good time.
Bye.
Next time.
Bye.